You are listening to the Purpose Church High School Ministry Podcast. Whether this is your first episode or you've heard them all, God has something to say to you. Our vision is to see every student everywhere following Jesus, and we hope this message helps you take your next step in your faith. To learn more about our high school ministry, visit our website, purposechurch.com/HSM, and check us out on Instagram at purposehsm. We hope you enjoy today's episode.
We're just going through the book of Proverbs. Week one, we talked about what is wisdom and is it really that valuable? If you weren't there, yes, wisdom is that valuable. Week two, we talked about self-control and lust. Week three, we talked about gossip and friendship. And today we're in week four, and we're going to talk about pride and laziness. And I feel that God has given Pastor Claire some expert insight on lining up this series with this week being the week before camp. Here's the question I want you to wrestle with before you go into this next week. And you can write this down on your notes, write it in all caps. I don't care, bubble letters, do whatever you want. Take a picture of it on the screen when it comes up, or even set your alarm every day to say this question. What actions can I take this week to make sure I am not a ball hog or a bench warmer? So, real quick, I want to explain what each of those are. So, a ball hog. These are people who try to control the room. They protect their image, win attention, prove they matter. They always are right, or at least think they are. Or they make everything orbit around them. And to give you guys an example of what a ball hog looks like, let's watch this real quick. So that's what a ball hog looks like. I just love that he throws an old man out the window and he's just like, what were you saying about me again? But then there's bench warmers, okay? Bench warmers are people who avoid responsibility. They hide behind, I don't care, even though they really do. They wait for someone else to lead. They refuse to try. They numb out. They procrastinate. Or they stay passive because effort feels risky. Being lazy and being prideful is something that Proverbs actually warns about quite a bit. And so Pastor Claire told me recently that she felt that I was kind of like, I don't know, I was a good fit for this sermon. And I was kind of like, cool, do you think I'm lazy and prideful? And the worst part of that is she's right. Not about one of them, about both of them. So I somehow am lazy and prideful. It's so cool. I get the privilege of being a ball hog and a bench warmer. And you might think to yourself, well, ball hogs and bench warmers, they act very differently, right? Someone who wants to be like in the spotlight and someone who doesn't, how are those the same? And I think it's because laziness and pride actually have the same root causes. I think laziness and pride come out of selfishness, insecurity, and fear. These roots may show up in our lives in the form of many questions and frustrations. And maybe you've asked some of these questions. I think some of these questions are like, why do I care so much about what people think? And that sometimes shows up as, who am I trying to impress? Am I becoming wise or just trying to look good? Who am I afraid would reject me if they saw the real me? Do I want to be known or do I only want to look like I'm on the team? Some people might be asking, why do I pretend to not care? When you know deep down you do, we all do it. What have I stopped trying at because I'm afraid to fail? Where do I act uninterested because I'm scared of being rejected? Where am I sitting back because trying would expose me? What part of my life have I benched myself from? And then the last question that I think kind of encompasses all these little questions is, why is it so hard to be corrected? When someone corrects me, do I get curious or defensive? Do I actually want to grow or do I want people to agree with me? Who in my life is allowed to tell me the truth? Do I punish people for being honest with me? And I am convinced that all of us here, every single one of us in this room, at one time or another, have been frustrated by how we answer those questions. And it's not just a high school issue. I would be lying if I didn't tell you guys, like, honestly, just building this sermon, I've felt like a ball hog and a bench warmer. And I've had to fight that. It sounds kind of lame, but at the end of the day, I do care what you guys think. I can out logic all day and say, like, why should I care what a bunch of stinky high schoolers think of me? But at the end of the day, something about it, I do care what you guys think. Your opinion matters to me. And I know you guys have similar situations all the time where you can talk yourself out of, why should this bother me? But it does. And so if we aren't supposed to be a bench warmer or a ball hog, I think the obvious next step is to ask, what am I supposed to be? And I think we all need to work hard to be an active teammate. Romans 12, 4 through 5 talks about the body of Christ, and it talks about it like this. For just as each one of us has a body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The body of Christ is the team we play on. And just like in any team sport, each person has a different role. All right, the World Cup is going on. How many of you guys are following that? Okay, so you guys know what soccer is? Yeah, Oh, it's football. Yeah, I know. So we'll use the World Cup as an example today. So for all of you guys that are really following, some of you guys might just barely know what sports ball is. I get it. But think about this. World Cup's going on. All of the major countries are playing in this cup, right? All the big teams are, it's starting to get down to the wire, right? Actually, that's not really true. It's still like a little ways out. But what if you were the coach of one of those teams? What if you were the coach and you went up and you just said to Lionel Messi or Mbappe or Haaland, I want you to play goalkeeper today. Yeah, what about Ronaldo? He can play goalkeeper as well. Either way, you probably would not be a coach of that team very long. That's just not a good move. Taking your highest scorers and putting them in the goal, I don't think that's very strategic at all. And a lot of people, they want to be the high scorers. Like when we look up to those athletes that we want to be like, people want to be like the Kobe Bryant or the Barry Bonds. But the reality is this, those world-known players never got there alone. Even people like Usain Bolt, who's in a solo sport, never made it alone. He would have coaches, rivals, friends he would train with. All of these things go into the idea that they had a team behind them. Every part of the body is important, and every part has an important and pivotal role in the lives of others. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27 says it this way. There is one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free people, we were all given the same spirit to drink. So the body is not made up of just one part, it has many parts. Suppose the foot says, I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it can't stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, it is just the opposite. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are the ones we can't do without. The parts that we think are less important, we treat with special honor. The private parts aren't shown, but they are treated with special care. The parts that can be shown don't need special care. But God has put together all the parts of the body, and he has given more honor to the parts that didn't have any. In that way, the parts of the body will not take sides. All of them will take care of one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part shares in the joy. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And today, I won't be spending too much time on this, but I do want you guys thinking about this. We have some other things that we're going to talk about, but in the back of your mind, I want you to be thinking about what part of the body of Christ are you right now? Where are you in life? You guys are high school students, but all of you are very different from each other. What part of the body of Christ are you? And be ready. Over time, that might change as God gives you new knowledge, new people to interact with, new experiences. You may turn into someone who's more equipped to be a different part of the body of Christ than you have been. And that's good. That's growth. So keep that question in mind. But my goal for tonight is to answer, how can you be an active teammate? Being an active teammate will require fighting the urges to be a ball hog or a bench warmer. And I want to give you four practical ways that I think you can start practicing as soon as tonight, even in your life groups. Number one, do not be prideful. Be confident. Proverbs 3:34 says, "He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed." Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Psalm 27:3, I love this verse. If you guys know me, it's tattooed on my body. "Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident." Confidence is not the enemy, guys. It's okay to know that God has equipped you well. It's bad to act like you could do it on your own. It's bad to act like you don't need God to help you get there. Number two, do not be lazy. Be well rested. Proverbs 14:23, "All hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty." You got to do the work, guys. You can't just have ideas. You got to do the work. And I struggle with this one. Anytime I have an idea for a new video to make or anything like that, the hardest thing for me to do is start. I could talk all day about the ideas. We could sit down for an hour and I'll be like, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. And have done none of it. You got to do the work. And you got to act like you're on the team. If you go around saying you're on the team, but you sit on the bench the whole time, are you actually on the team? You know, like, how many of you guys here are on a team? Like, on anything? I don't care. Like, it could be extracurricular. It could be all that. Okay. If you told your friends that you were on the football team and they looked and you've never played on the football team, are you actually on the team?
No.
Right. You can't just act it. You got to jump into it. Proverbs 10:4 says, "Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth." Proverbs 12:27, "The lazy do not roast any game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt." Do you see the pattern? Lazy doesn't cut it. Genesis 2:2-3 says this, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." It's okay to be tired. It's okay to feel a little burnt out after you've done a long week of stuff. God took a day of rest. But notice what he did first. He took the rest after he did the work. Don't burn out. Don't take this as a way of saying, I should never take a break. I just need to keep going and going until I collapse. You can't do that. Your body will tell you you cannot. But you gotta put effort in. Can't just be on the sidelines. That's not an active teammate. The third thing I want to talk about, do not be hasty. Be willing. Proverbs 21:5, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Proverbs 16:9, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Jesus spent 30 years on earth before he even found the first disciple. Okay? God's powerful. He could have come in and just been like, I'm coming to earth, we're going to get started, and we're going to leave. He spent 30 years planning and prepping his ministry. That's important. Taking your time, planning out well. All of these things are things you are allowed to do God's work well. Don't be impatient. God has things in store for you, and I know how tempting it is to say, but I want to do it now. Patience is good, but when God says go, you jump to it. Imagine this. You're a quarterback on the team. Defense is out there playing. They just got the turnover. And coach says, all right, offense, you're getting out there. If you're the quarterback, what are you doing? You are running on that field. You're not sitting on the bench, hold on a minute, let me get a Gatorade break. No, you jump out there. When God calls you to action, we gotta be doing the same thing. You gotta be ready to jump out there. Colossians 3:23 through 24 says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. It isn't about you. If you haven't heard that before, I'm going to first say it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about giving God everything you have, including being patient when all you want to do is be in the game. Trust God's timing. Sprinting ahead when God is still preparing you is dangerous. Number four, don't be fragile. Be humble. Proverbs 22:4 says this, humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians 12:9 through 10, but the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. James 5:16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Guys, it's not weak to be vulnerable. It isn't weak to lean on others for God. It's actually a hidden strength that Christians get. The God of the universe is here with you and is leading you because he loves you. This week, as some of you guys are going to go to camp, some of you guys might not, and that's okay. You still can take this with you. As you go out, remember to be an active teammate. When you see someone sitting alone this week and that small thought in your head says, go sit with them, don't be a bench warmer. When you are at home and your mom comes in and says, thanks for taking the dog on the walk, and you know it was actually your brother, don't be a ball hog. Give the rightful credit to your brother, even if they're super annoying. Some of you guys going to camp this week will be choosing to get baptized. And what's crazy is a handful of you in that group might not even know yet that you're choosing to get baptized. That might happen at camp. If you feel a tug on your heart to declare publicly that you want God to be the Lord of your life, I urge you, don't be a bench warmer. Get in the game. Before we end, I want to do something. I'm gonna be really clear what we're doing, because I don't want anyone to get confused on this or feel uncomfortable about this. I'm gonna count to three. It'll be a little while from now. And on three, I want you guys to stand up if you want to be an active team member this week. Here's the part that I think you're going to hate. When you stand up, I'm going to take a selfie of all of us, and I'm going to send it to your leaders, and they're going to follow up with you and ask you how you're doing this week. Yikes. So I want you to think about it. And I have a couple things to say to the bench warmers and the ball hogs out there, because I'm struggling there with you. Ball hogs, don't stand up because it'll make you look cool. Don't let that be the reason. Also, don't stay sitting because your friends that are too cool to stand are also sitting. Bench warmers, it's almost the exact opposite, but very similar. Don't stand up because people are watching you. Stand up because you want to. Don't stay sitting because your friends are sitting down and you don't want to look like the weird one. So here's the thing. It looks very different for ball hogs and bench warmers, but every single person in the room is going to be dealing with actually the same root fear. How do I look in front of others? Is this really what I want? Do I care enough to stand up? And here's what I'm going to say. If you sit down, if you stay sitting, no judgment. I love and respect you for making that choice, honestly. But if this week you want to go to camp and be an active teammate, or you want to be at home with your family and be an active teammate, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. One, two, three. All right, smile, we're taking a picture. Oh, look at that. Yay. All right. Let's give a round of applause for everyone who did. Stand up. Because unlucky for them, their leaders are going to be asking them what they did this week. But before we get going, I'm going to pray us out. And then Pastor Claire is going to come up because she wants to do one more closing for you guys before she goes on maternity leave. And then we'll head off to life groups. Let me pray for us. Lord, we thank you for this night. We thank you for all those that chose to stand up to be an active teammate on your team. I pray this week that everyone in this room has the confidence to be an active team member, has the rest to be an active team member, has the humility to be approachable, and the willingness to move. Lord, we pray for all the students going up to camp. We pray for their safety, and we pray for your protection over all the students that are staying down here. In your name, amen.